On Good Friday, the churches at Llandudno Junction and Rhyl joined together to have an agape meal and a time of meditation together. And I just want to put together a couple of the thoughts that we had on that Good Friday evening. There's a scripture meditation called, Is It Nothing? They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spat on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they'd mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. Is it nothing to you that one day Jesus came, all our sorrow and suffering to share? He came as the light of a new hope for the world in the day of its darkest despair. There is a green hill far away, without a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Is it nothing to you that one day Jesus died, that men mocked him and heedless passed by? No sorrow was e'er like the sorrow he bore, when they scorned him and left him to die. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, Don't write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven from one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who gets it. This happened, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, They divided my garments among them, and cast lots for my clothing. So this is what the soldiers did. On Calvary's tree the King of Glory languished, held not by nails, but by undying love. Sin's debt to pay, the sting of death remove, boundless cleansing to provide. Mercy's gate open wide, his purple robe is parted among the soldiers. That scepter reed discarded where it fell. Yet meekly borne, that crown of cruel thorn still attests his royal might, fears to quell, wrongs to right. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said. Since you're under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth today, you will be with me in paradise. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. Darkness descends, the cross in mystery veiling. Deep thunders roll and lightnings rend the skies. As Jesus dies, a willing sacrifice, God's own word by blood is sealed. By his stripes we are healed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he said this, he breathed his last. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." From that sacred hill, hope is gleaming still. Thy shame and grief he bore. Go in peace, sin no more. Is it nothing to you that his cross speaks our shame? Is it nothing to you, for whose cleansing he came, that our guilt made his Calvary and pierced his hands through? Is it nothing to you? Is it nothing? Is it nothing to you? Generally speaking, we prefer to look on the bright side of things. We like Easter better than Good Friday. We have a cross front and centre in our church, but like our fellow Protestants and unlike our Catholic sisters and brothers, we make sure Jesus' body isn't on it. We might be drawn to the cross a little bit when we are suffering, but mostly we'd rather not suffer. Mostly we'd rather forget about anything that reminds us of suffering. This cross points us to facts that are ugly, painful, and repulsive. Who doesn't want religious devotion that instead is immediately uplifting, inspiring, and positive? What kind of pick-me-up can there be in pondering an execution, especially one so cruel and unjust? Yet the cross is where Jesus' story leads. It's where the story of our world so often leads. The innocent are killed again and again. In war, in crime, in accidents, in natural disasters, and in business as usual. Jesus dies on the cross outside the capital city. A good man, a great man, caught up in a political, economic, and religious swirl that falsely brands him an expendable rabble-rouser. But then again, why shouldn't he be killed? That's the way this world's story so often goes. The cross is where Jesus' story leads, but we'd rather not dwell on that. Several years ago in Newsweek magazine, writer Kenneth Woodward published an article entitled "The Other Jesus." In it, he explained the views of several of the world's other great religions concerning Jesus. He noted that in Judaism there's no precedent for a Messiah who dies, much less as a criminal as Jesus did. He pointed out that in Islam Jesus is hailed as one of the greatest of all prophets, but that his crucifixion is flatly denied. Muslims believe it's an insult to Allah to think he'd ever allow one of his prophets to be killed. Woodward highlighted Hinduism's high regard for Jesus as a perfected yogi, but one who as such would certainly have escaped the degradation of death. He quoted the well-known Buddhist monk, Thich Nhat Hanh, who has said, "The figure of the crucified Christ is a very painful image to me. It does not contain joy or peace, and it does not do justice to Jesus." The world's other great faiths clearly have problems with Jesus' crucifixion too. St. Paul recognized early on our common confusion about and resistance to it when he said the cross is foolishness and a stumbling block. Yet it remains at the heart of the Christian faith. Why is that? The cross tells us that Jesus lived this life to the full. The cross shows us that he knew our life not only at its most joyful and passionate, but also at its most vulnerable and painful. It reveals that he was subject to risk and betrayal, to trial and suffering, to anguish and death, even to an unjust, mocking and cruel death. It tells us that Jesus was all of this openly and willingly, but not only or simply as a well-meaning teacher from a Galilean backcountry. He was all of this as God, God in our flesh, God acting in our history, God among us absolutely determined to love us back to who we're meant to be, no matter what. Our world story is one in which the best among us often are crushed by evil, one in which people we love dearly become sick and die too soon, one in which innocent people get wiped out by crazy and senseless accidents, one in which small children get hammered to death by their own parents, one in which people get trained to kill by the thousands, people that they've never met. But Jesus' cross tells us into this story God has come. God has come to embrace it all, to show us the best in the midst of the worst, to suffer the deepest horrors that we can inflict with a resolve that will not crack, to live and die with us through everything in a love that will not let us go, to stay with us in a love that cannot be defeated. The story of Jesus leads to this cross. On it, we see the lengths God is willing to go for us. On Good Friday evening, let's resolve never to run away from the fact. Let's resolve instead to keep coming to the cross to dwell on it. Let's dwell on it until its love becomes our own. Love that's unconquerable for God and for each other. None of us wants the story to go this way. But if we keep following it, if we follow it all the way to the end, we will come at last into a great and grateful silence. We'll fill with holy awe that will enable us to take more to heart the wondrous, bloody and beautiful truth of the cross, the truth of which is embodied in the song, "My song is love unknown. My Saviour's love to me, love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I, that for my sake, my God should take frail flesh and die? God left the richest throne salvation to bestow, but Christ as flesh and bone the world refused to know. But, oh, my friend indeed, who at my need did life expend, I sing my plain belief, one song my heart outpours. Never was pain or grief, never was love like yours. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend, in all my days could gladly spend." Let's praise our friend, this Jesus, God on the cross, by loving each other as God has loved us. Amen. A closing prayer. Remember, Father, your church bought by the blood of your Son, and gather it in holiness into the kingdom you have prepared for it. Direct us by your Spirit in all our ways. Stir us to live lives to your glory. Make us faithful witnesses to Jesus and his resurrection, eager for the joy of his coming, and made worthy to worship you with all your people forever. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.